Welcome back, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to everybody. Hopefully you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Scotty and I trying to get you ready for this Utah-Washington matchup, the newly announced matchup. And here to help us get you ready is the play-by-play voice for the Washington Huskies, Tony Castricone. Tony, long time no talk. How you been, my friend?
Good, man. I'm thankful for football, thankful that my wife is a better cook than I am, so that way there's good food tomorrow, thankful for lots of stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. There is a lot to be thankful for. Like, everybody's stirred up because the Utah-Arizona State game got canceled and things got changed, but guess what, man? We've got football on Saturday. I want to start with this. I know that Utah had some inkling. They had some idea, even going back to Sunday evening into Monday preparation, that it might be Washington, or that there was a good chance it'd be Washington. Do you feel like Washington's been actively preparing for Utah as well?
I don't. In fact, we're going to have our radio coaches show with Jimmy Lake tonight, and then he's going to meet the media for his press conference here in about an hour. But, you know, I think early in the week, Washington was trying to get together with BYU. That was much publicized and talked about. And then, of course, Washington was trying to line up a non-conference opponent, given the fact that the Pac-12 is now free to do that. Although, I mean, it is tough. I see both sides of the argument. If you're trying to line up an opponent in non-conference play, it's tough to get somebody to agree to be second fiddle when they could get bumped by a league opponent later in the week. And then at the same time, of course, the Pac-12 wants to take care of their own. So that makes sense. But so Washington, you know, was considering BYU. I was hearing reports that they may have come to an agreement with San Diego State. Now last night they find out they're playing against Utah. So this will undoubtedly be a short week of prep for Washington and for Utah. But that being said, I think that this year a lot of that stuff kind of goes out the window. You know, I just feel like there's so many things. The team that's just able to adapt, and Jimmy Lake has said this, the team that's able to adapt and the team that's able to have the virus under control, those are the teams that are going to be the most successful. And so, you know, I know there's a lot about this game that's unconventional. I know that Utah came to Seattle last year, and folks might say, well, why are they doing that 2 years in a row and all that stuff? I mean, all I know is this. There's been a ton of work going on behind the scenes by the athletic directors, the football staffs, the television networks, everything that everybody can do just to try to find pairings that are executable. They don't always make sense, but they're executable, and that's why we've got this game in Seattle this Saturday. And I think we're happy and thankful to be playing it. And I suppose Utah probably is as well.
I think so. Yeah, I had an opportunity to watch that Washington Arizona game, and I had a good sense of Arizona because I was doing some film prep with them and USC. And so I felt like that was a really good Arizona team. I think Grant Gunnell's a good quarterback. And I felt like Washington ripped him in half. I felt like they had him kind of keyed in from the very jump. And I can't remember what the exact number was. I think it was 24-0 in the first half. Washington was just blowing the doors off Arizona, especially defensively. Kind of take me through Washington's defense. Are they veteran-laden? And who's leading that defense right now?
Yeah, great question. Well, 37-0 in the quarters. And all of Arizona's points came in the fourth. Most of their, I'd say, three-quarters of their yards came in the fourth. Washington's defense was elite the other night. And I think, you know, I think what we're always going to wonder is what would have been if the Pac-12 would have been able to boot this thing up a little bit sooner. Because once the Pac-12 canceled not the first but the second schedule, the 10-game conference-only schedule, the Huskies lost a couple to the NFL draft. Joe Tryon, who was a stud off the edge, Levi Onwuzurike, who's a big-time defensive tackle, both those guys said, you know what, we're just going to concentrate on getting ready for the next level, and opted out of this year of football. So those were some losses. And then also when you consider Liatu Latu, a starter off the edge, and Tuli Lotulinasanoa, maybe the best defensive tackle on the team. Both those two have not played in the first two games of the year due to injury. So where I'm going with this is you could argue an entire starting front four is out for the defense right now, and they're still performing at this level. And that's just, you know, it's a credit to the depth that this defense has recruited over the years. It's a credit to the way it's been coached up by Jimmy Lake on the defensive side of the ball. But the strength of the defense is the secondary. I mean, the secondary is elite. Elijah Molden is an All-American candidate at the nickel position. They've got two pretty good lockdown corners on both sides of the field. And then the safeties are young but really coming along. They've got a new safety in Alex Cook. He's a converted wide receiver who I was surprised to see him become a starter this year, but he's really excelled at the safety position. And then the other safety is a true sophomore in Asa Turner, who they feel like even at 19, 20 years old, he's become a real leader on the defensive side of the ball and understands the game incredibly well. So the defense is just top-notch. And much like Utah, you know, I mean, I think this team, that's their brand of football, is they want to be physical, hard-nosed on the offensive side, but then defensively they want to be stout and a brick wall. And I think they've got the veteran, unlike this Utah team, they've got the veterans. They've got, you know, eight returning starters on that side of the ball, and that's maybe a little bit of an edge that they have on the youth when you compare defenses.
Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies, joining us. So Tony, I was doing a little bit of film work this morning, and I actually wrote the name down because I wanted to talk about him today. Tupuola Fatui. I don't know if this guy was kind of coined as the guy that would lead. I don't know if he's been fantastic all year or since he's been at Washington, but he definitely jumped out to me on film as a guy that could be a difference maker.
Yeah, no question. So Zion Tupuola Fatui was not supposed to be a starter this year. Talked about how, you know, we expected to have Ryan Bowman, who's a fifth-year senior. He is there on one of the edges, but then it was going to be Joe Tryon. Tryon opts out the NFL. Then we think it's going to be Liatu Latu. He's out with an injury. So Zion Tupuola Fatui ends up in there. And all he's done in the first two games is he has four sacks, two forced fumbles, and he would have had a fifth sack if he wasn't blatantly held on a play that did result in a 10-yard penalty. But he would have had a quarterback sack. And so, you know, I just think he's been a huge, huge benefit for this Husky defense to have that kind of presence on the edge. A guy who has a true freshman coming out of Pearl City, Hawaii, only played in a couple of games and had one tackle in 2018. Then last year as a redshirt freshman, I think only had nine tackles all year long. I can't honestly say, I know they were high on him, but I can't honestly say I thought his time was going to come here at the beginning of the season. But unquestionably, he has made the most of his opportunity.
Man, I'll tell you, that guy was
stud.
Everywhere. Yeah, total yeah. Stud. I'm watching, and he forces you to watch him. Number 58 for the Utah fans out there getting ready to watch this Utah-Washington game coming up on Saturday. This guy is a guy that Utah is going to need to key in on because he is nasty in that backfield. When he gets past that first line, he's ripping quarterbacks in half. It did feel like, as I watched that game against Arizona, it really does feel like Washington's doing everything they can to try to take some of the pressure off of a freshman quarterback in that run game. But there's also some responsibility that's heaped on him. How has Dylan Morris, your freshman quarterback, handled it?
Yeah, really great. I mean, if you look at, you know, a redshirt freshman, just the third this century to start at quarterback at Washington as a freshman, joining Jake Walker and Jake Browning, two pretty good names.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been really solid. And he's shown a propensity to be able to really have a strong arm too. I mean, he throws some bullets over the middle. Really, if there's any knock on him in the first couple of games, it's that his deep balls don't have enough touch. They're maybe throwing a little too much on a line. But I think he's a heady quarterback who just knows where his guys are, when they're supposed to be there, and is just really quick at reading and making decisions, and he makes good decisions. And I think, you know, for a freshman to have played eight quarters of football, and not have taken any sacks and not have any turnovers. That's remarkable. And granted, Washington's first two games were not against the best defenses in the Pac-12. Oregon State and Arizona have had their documented struggles on that side of the ball the last few years. But it wasn't FCS Eastern Washington, you know? Like, I mean, these are conference opponents, eight quarters, no sacks, no turnovers. I mean, that's exactly what you want out of a quarterback. And so, you know, he's allowed these great playmakers around him to make plays. They've got a stable of four really good running backs. They've got a great big offensive line, and they've got some talented young receivers on the outside. And so, you know, I just think this offense is only going to get better. I think the one question that I have, Hans, that I haven't quite figured out yet, is you just said they did a good job of putting an offense together to, you know, take some of the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
And what I haven't figured out yet is that what they were doing, or is this what they're going to be? I don't know. I mean, they want to be really multiple, two and three tight end sets, pro style. They want to run the football. They certainly want to, like, run to set up a vertical passing game. But I think that this is a football team that really wants to just grind it out and be physical and run the football. And so it should be interesting to see how this offense evolves over the course of this short season and certainly going into next year.
Well, talk to me about this because, Tony, I don't know a ton about Jimmy Lake. I'm not a – I just don't know. What is his identity? When he came in, what did you guys identify him as?
Well, his whole career has been on the defensive side of the ball. And so this is the first time that he's really worked in a significant capacity with an offense. And he hired John Donovan, who was a running backs coach at the Jacksonville Jaguars, to come in and run a pro-style offense. I mean, that's what he wants to be. Jimmy Lake has NFL experience. He wants to run a program that not only has great students, but also guys that are preparing to be professional athletes for a short window in their life. And I think, you know, he wants a lot of what they do to feel like an NFL program. I mean, he's even called their preseason scrimmages. He set up four very specific preseason scrimmages to be their preseason games. He's really trying to run it like a mini NFL program. And I think that what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball is trying to create that pro-style offense. They want to be multiple. They want to run first, but they want to do it to set up a passing game. And they just want to be physical and be maulers and really assert their will. And I think if you look at the box score, 37 minutes time of possession in both of the first two games, they've been able to do just that.
Well, Tony, we sure appreciate you jumping on with us. Thanks for the short notice. And I know everything's on a short notice and nothing is typical. I mean,
yep.
I really do appreciate you coming on. I think you're one of the best in the business. And hopefully I get to see you during bowl season at some point.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I'm just happy that we're able to connect this week. And, you know, hope and pray for all the best for you and your loved ones.
Awesome, man. We appreciate that, Tony. There you go. That's Tony Castor, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Huskies.